Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 26, and I'm Jason Webster here with Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
How do, boys?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening now?
Not much.
Two more weeks till the draft.
It's coming fast, dude. This is when it starts. Like, you know, for me, I don't like to do anything until it's the very last minute, as you guys know. So the last couple of weeks is the best part of the pre-draft process for me. I like that part. Yeah.
It starts getting real at this point.
It does. It does.
Two weeks.
Couple of big weeks coming up, too.
Yeah, you really got to look at, you know, when you're looking at these mock drafts, you got to start really thinking, all right, like, who's realistic right now?
Right.
You know? And we kind of covered it last week. You know, cornerback at this point has to be the most realistic choice based on, you know, the need of the team.
If things stay the way they are right now.
Yeah, it's the most glaring position that we have a deficit on the team. You know, we're good, obviously, at safety right now, hopefully.
Yep.
You know.
With a Jordan Poyer situation, we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, I agree. I think they're pretty sound.
But you look across the, you know, the team, and it's, you know, quarterback's good. Running back seems pretty darn good. Wide receiver obviously seems good. Again, you can add talent to that.
Right.
But, you know, we added tight end, you know, offensive line, we were shoring up good. We can add to that. But as far as like first pick in the first round.
Right.
You know, it just really seems like it's pointing towards a corner at this point. So,
Yeah. And I heard something interesting, too. One of the reasons, and I don't even remember where I heard it. It was on the radio, I believe. But they're talking about the fact that one of the reasons that they're downplaying the need is because when Trey White got injured, Dane Jackson pretty much came in and filled in for him. And I think for the most part, they were fairly impressed. I think they were happy with what he was able to accomplish, being kind of thrust into a key role at that point. So, but yeah, I agree.
He did well.
You know, it's weird. I didn't think about this until just now. Like, my history with the Bills most of the time is, not the second or third guy. Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be our number one wide receiver or number one linebacker, defensive end? I mean, in the past, not that distant past, but in the most recent past, it's been, who's our quarterback? You know, it's really weird to be thinking about an upcoming draft going, it truly is best player available. Mm-hmm. They can't screw this up. There's just... Yeah, I mean, if they don't end up with a cornerback, they'll figure out a way to get in a veteran or something. They'll work that out.
Sure.
You know, they have a plan. I'm sure they're going to stick to it. And I think it will, as you indicated, lead to a cornerback at least in the first couple picks.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough for me to look at this roster and think that we can go into this season with not that Dane Jackson isn't a viable guy. Sure. He's just not the guy. You know, we've been playing this game at cornerback for the last 2-3 years where, you know, we didn't know what we had when we drafted Trey White until, you know, after the first into the second year, we knew we had a guy that was going to be solid.
Yep.
You know, then he became what he became. But two years in a row, we're like, you know, is Levi good enough? Should we draft another corner? You know, these talks were amongst the draft every, you know, the last 2 years.
For sure.
You know, and there's a lot of people that said, you know, Levi's solid. He's a good, you know, cornerback too. And, you know, he was a unrestricted drafted free agent.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this kind of back and forth. But now it came to heads where, you know, apparently, you know, Levi had this, what was it, Jay? Some fruition from God.
Oh, yeah. At least rumor has it, right?
Well, no, it was apparently right out of his mouth.
He said
that he basically was weighing down whether he went to Pittsburgh or whether he stayed with Buffalo. And he, I don't know if he heard an actual voice from God or if he just got some sort of message, vision quest. I don't fucking know. But for whatever reason,
right.
He believes that the correct move for him was to leave.
Shortly after a big bowl.
And to be honest, regardless of whether that's true or not, anyone who thinks that way, I'm totally cool with it. Go for it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like everybody's got to have their own motivation, right? Whatever it is, it led him away from the Bills. And part of it might be the fact that, like, I don't think the Bills really were secure in who he was as a player because they would have signed him.
It felt wishy-washy. Like, we signed him.
He wasn't a core dude, right?
Yeah. He really made it, you know, be known to the Bills last year that he wanted to come back to win a Super Bowl.
For sure.
And the Bills were like, okay, well, I guess you're good enough. We'll sign you for one more year.
Right, right.
See what you can do. And I honestly don't think we really had the intentions of signing him again this year.
I just don't. I don't think so.
Certainly between the three of us at this table, I don't think there's any broken hearts. I mean, you know, right. It was great to have him on the team, but, you know, it was time to move on.
Well, yep. It's funny. With all the free agency and stuff, what was going through my mind is that's a talent you can replace fairly cost effectively. You know, you didn't have to go out and sign a, you know, $12, $13 million dude to replace him. You could get somebody on a fairly decent contract of equal caliber, but I think they probably wanted a little bit better.
Right.
You know, so I agree 100%. I don't think it was ever in the cards that unless it was a really good deal for the team, he probably wasn't coming back.
Right. And it seems weird to me that after he signed with Pittsburgh, we didn't do anything to address that cornerback position yet.
It reminds me of so many times. Like, it feels like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
You know, and then somehow something happens and it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
But doesn't it seem like Brandon Bean, like the type of guy he is, would have like addressed it pretty quickly at normalcy?
And maybe he just couldn't get the numbers done or something. I mean, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they had been able to bring in a veteran guy and, you know, a $3 or $4 million deal for a year or two or whatever. That could hold down like what they did with Josh Norman.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Similar circumstance. A veteran dude who's like winding down his career that's either playing for another contract or wants to prove that he still got it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of those guys out there.
There still is, too. I mean,
sure.
I mean, Gilmore is still there and there's reports that the Bills were interested in him, but there hasn't. I don't know. It's just weird. There hasn't been a lot of movement on that side, and it just feels weird that they haven't signed a veteran, which leads me to believe that he's waiting for the draft.
He's often said, man, I wish we could do the draft first. Then at least we'd know what we need to do in free agency.
Right.
And like you said, a lot of cornerbacks moved in the league this year, a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because there were a lot, and he knew that and was under no pressure to feel like he had to go out and overspend. I mean, by waiting as long as he has now, I mean, who are you negotiating with? Guys that may not even get a contract.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but this year for me, it's just utter chaos. Because going from Von Miller to Stephon Diggs to having such low cap space, we're at this point where it's almost like I would believe anything. We have such little movement available and so many things that we would like to have, but we don't necessarily need.
Right.
That it's just a, you know, it's just kind of a weird area.
It is. It's not something as a Bills fan you would normally associate with the team.
Right.
You know, because in the past there was always, A, we got to get a quarterback, and B, we need to put a team around him because it was always lacking in too many areas, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, we just need to fine-tune this engine and get it purring, and we're really close.
And we don't have a ton of room to do it, which is – you know, kind of an interesting thing, too.
Right.
Yeah, we have 8.2 mil or something like that right now in cap space. Which
probably enough for draft.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, too, they're not going to carry over 60 guys on the final roster. So they know that. They'll pare the numbers down. I'm sure they already have a pretty good idea who's really, at least in the locker room right now, going to make the team.
Right.
I think it's just it just needs to be confirmed. You know, they know the guys. Right. I seen an article today on the Bills page. They actually had a photo gallery of three of the Bills players working out in Orlando together. And that's Isaiah McKenzie, Gabe Davis, and Devin Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, that says Isaiah McKenzie wants to reward the team for the contract he has, and he wants another good one. You know, Gabe Davis, I think, realizes this could be a real breakout for him. I mean, this season could change his fortune for the future. And Devin Singletary did the same thing last year. He was ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him the opportunity to carry the rock, man, especially end of the year. So
yeah.
I think he's looking to lock down that position and be that franchise running back the way Josh Allen's a franchise quarterback.
And I think, like you guys have talked about before on the podcast, that we're at a certain level now of expectation for everyone on the roster. It was basically, for me anyway, a question of Josh needing to get to a certain level for us to know that you know, for sure we had a shot at it. And now that we're there and we think we're a Super Bowl team all around, everyone has to be on that pace. Nobody can fall behind.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a super good point, Jay. Like, we really did have to make sure that Josh Allen was going to be at that level because, you know, let's face it, his rookie year, he was just iffy. You know, we didn't know what we really had. We knew we had a guy with heart. We knew we had a guy that had legs and a strong arm, but we just didn't know where he could take us.
There were flashes of greatness, but they were flashes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's just really inconsistent, you know, and then you got to year two, he improved a little bit. Year three, obviously he had that big jump, and that was the meeting rail, right? Like you had to see, can he really keep doing this?
Right. That was that point where this is what it looks like we could have. Boy, if he could put another solid season together, I think we'd probably know that, right?
And no one needs to look at him anymore, which means there's nowhere to hide anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't, like, with the team in general, like, now you have to drive that thing like a Mustang now, right?
Yep.
You know, soup it up and just let it flow because that's what we have now. I mean, we have the core.
Fastest cars in the NFL.
Exactly.
I mean, really.
We do. And it's awesome to have it. You know, it's awesome to see guys locked down like Josh and Diggs. And, you know, I know we're a little bit like, what's going to happen with Jordan Poyer? And, you know, he obviously hired Drew Rosenhaus to, you know, start trying to make some deals and extension and stuff like that. I get it. The guy's
awesome.
It's
a business still. Sure.
But it's just, you know, I know Brandon Bean's just, he's not focused. That's not the core part of what he's focused on right now.
He's under contract for another year.
Yeah. So that's tough.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. And I was just going to make a comment to go back to you're talking about running back and stuff. And, you know, that conversation is in play still with the draft. You know, are we going to take a running back? Would Brandon Bean, you know, consider doing that in this draft? You know, we have three backs on the roster right now. Duke Johnson, I think, is a much better addition than Breida from last year, Matt Breida.
Yeah, I think going all the way back to, from Jacksonville there, who we had before.
TJ Yeldon?
Yeah, Yeldon, before Breida came in.
I would say this is our best three backs we've had in a while.
Niche guys, but whereas I think they have a specific role for Duke Johnson.
Right.
It's very specific.
There's two ways that I can look at the only way we'd want to draft a back, or if I'm thinking in Brandon Bean's. He would draft the back, A, because they think, you know, Moss, in general, Moss is just not their guy.
Right, which I think is very likely.
Yep. Or B, they draft a guy and maybe they can use him as trade bait or something along that line. There's the only two. Now, I personally just can't see us drafting a back. I think, you know, we need more. We need corner. I would think at least two corners in this draft. Mm-hmm. I would think at least two, maybe three offensive linemen. Definitely one or two wide receivers. Why not, you know?
Right.
Even a safety, you know?
Sure.
I just think we need more. Come on, Jeff.
Sorry.
I just think we need more, you know, at the other positions right now than a running back. Now, I wouldn't be heated if we drafted a running back, but I just feel, I don't know.
Well, and especially like you talked about the idea of trade bait. You know, if we get into the second round and there's just somebody perfect who falls in our lap, why not? You're probably going to get something for him.
You could, yeah, for sure.
Well, the funny thing is, like last year, everybody remembers, the first round was all about a running back, and we tried to reassure people that wasn't going to happen, and it didn't. But I think the difference being this year is if there is a, and I don't know this to be the case, but it seemed like in the second half of the season last year, there was a lack of confidence, I'll say, in Zach Moss. And so now if you look at Tywan Jones is a specialty guy, special teamer. Duke Johnson's a receiving back.
Yes.
I think that's what they want out of him. I don't think they want a bell cow or even really necessarily a backup to Devin Singletary. And I think the concern and the reason they may look at running back, and I think it would be after the third round. I don't think they would even take one in the third round unless a special talent fell much further than what anybody anticipated they would.
Right.
Because I think that changes things because the philosophies are you can pay a really good running back just a boatload of money, and maybe you win and maybe you don't. Like, you know, look at Saquon Barkley and Travis Etienne and all, you know, guy gets injured and it's like, what did we get out of it?
And where else are you more likely for that to happen?
Right. Christian,
it's a very high risk position in today's NFL.
Yeah. It's hard to tie a lot of money up into a running back right now.
Well, that's especially a rookie back. Yeah. You're talking about somebody who needs a lot of training, who is not used to this level of physicality, more likely to get injured.
Well, what about Devin Singletary? Is he their long-term plan? Or are they going to let him play out his rookie deal and go, we don't invest tons of money in running back, so we're going to need a young running back to come in to carry the ball for the 3 or 4 years or whatever we have on his contract, and then we're probably going to let him walk because they're probably going to get more money than what we feel they're worth.
Yeah, I think he's their right now plan, you know? Right. And he's not going to be the type of guy because we don't feature him like a number one back, right. You know, 15 years ago where, you know, he's going to command big money, you know?
Right.
So there could be a chance that when his contract comes up in, the Bills look at it and say, hey, this is what we can offer you to still play on this team.
Yeah.
There's a possibility where he could be like, yeah. It's just tough to see Devin Singletary just want to go somewhere else in free agency and think he's going to get paid a lot more based on the type of production he's going to have.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's what we don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he is our long-term plan. We're gonna sign him before the end of his rookie deal. Or he's not, and we're going to need somebody to step in on a rookie deal to make it cost effective so we can invest dollars somewhere else, you know? So that would be about the only reason I could think of them wanting to put any kind of real capital into a running back.
Wanting to maybe draft one this year.
Maybe like
because he's on his third year. This is his third year on the team. Yeah,
like next year's is...
will be his fourth year.
His final year.
So they could
wait and draft one next year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a fifth year. I think it's a fourth year because he's drafted in the third round.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I think next year is his option year. So,
right.
Yeah, but they could look at that next year, too. So, if the right guy falls, boom, we got him. If he doesn't, we got next year. We got the offseason. I mean, they could bring in a veteran. There's like a million things they could do.
Yeah, and I know they talked to some guys. I don't know that they talked to Kenneth Walker at all from Michigan State. I don't know that.
I haven't followed that very closely.
But I know they talked to Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M.
Those are the kind of guys that they would be looking at, right? They could slide a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Isaiah Spiller, most stuff I see him slated is past third round.
Yeah.
You know? Would that bug you if we drafted a guy that had the last name Spiller as a running back?
No.
No?
Not anymore.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm over it, finally.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Johnny fumbles. Yeah. First round.
Yeah, it's this brings back a little. You know, I mean, we drafted him at number 9.
Dude, I know. Trust me. Like I say, it's easy to go back through and just look at all the questionable. I mean, if you remember that draft, holy shit, like people fainted. Like, what are you thinking?
Yep.
Well, like the last thing we probably need is a running back right now.
Well, my buddy was, like, super, super excited because he's like, dude, he's, like, the same type of back as Chris Johnson at the time was. And I'm like, I don't know, man. At number 9?
I don't think he was as big, though. I think he was smaller.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, that's the issue. I mean, and that's another thing that with running backs, I mean, if you look at some of the guys at Reggie Bush and C.J. Spiller and some of the guys that have come up that were highly touted. I don't know if you remember that Richardson in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his first name. He was like a blue chip prospect, no miss kind of a guy, and he freaking got drummed right out of the NFL.
Yeah.
In 2-3 years. He was just gone, disappeared.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a risky position, you know, to invest a lot of capital in. I think that's why the Bills do it different.
Right.
And that just depends on if that's this year, next year, whatever. But it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't hate it. But I think, like you said, there's plenty of other things they got to think about.
100%. Also, we got a guest coming on today, guys.
We do?
Yes.
Yay. I like guests.
It's our first one in a while.
It's been a bit. It's been a bit. When was that? The fall? Did we have one? Or in the summer, maybe?
Well, the last one... We had a few for last year's draft, so we're trying to kind of keep the same thing going. But, I think the last one we had was And forgive me for not remembering his name, but from Circling the Wagons. I think he was the last one we had on here.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, and we hope to have many more. Yeah, I love it because I like to get. I mean, we have our conversations. We have a pretty good handle on how we all think about different things. But it's neat getting a perspective for somebody who probably invests a hell of a lot more time into specific topics like the draft,
mm-hmm. which our guest certainly does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And he's got, I'm sure, his own ideas of what they should do and what he thinks they will do and that kind of stuff. And I like to hear that. You know, it's a tricky business, and very rarely is anybody right, but it's a hell of a lot of fun trying to figure it out.
And for anyone out there who is curious, I mean, the thing that kind of surprises me the most is it seems like if you want a guest on a podcast and you're doing a Bills podcast, it's really fucking easy. You reach out and you ask, and they're just ready to go because I think we all just love talking about this shit so much.
Oh, absolutely. They're just
absolutely willing to jump on board.
It's easy to talk about the Bills, but it's really easy to talk about the Bills when they're good.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
A lot easier.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we're talking about that, 2 weeks from tonight, we do this on Tuesday night. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have our mock drafts for the Bills. So anybody listening, if you want to put something together and post it on Facebook or something like that, we'll make a little game out of it, see how everybody does. Even if it's just the first few rounds or whatever you feel up to, if you want to do all seven, that's cool too.
Mm-hmm.
If you think they're going to make a move and trade somewhere, feel free to throw that in there. But, yeah, it's a neat exercise if nothing else, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And I know you were huge on Devin Singletary, and I was big on Zach Moss. That's a couple of players that, you know, actually came into the fold, and we'll see where Zach Moss goes. But I thought he would look pretty good in college, but that doesn't always translate to the NFL. It just doesn't.
So, and I think a cool idea this year would be, you know, because for those of you who don't know, I'm definitely not as much of a, you know, hardcore fan as the two other hosts here. So what I might do is I might just find a mock draft from a Bills fan and bring that on, and we'll use that as our, like, point of comparison.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So we have the two hosts versus the Bills Mafia.
That's a good
especially
call.
If it's a consensus kind of a thing. That's cool.
Yeah, I'll try to find a post with some decent replies and stuff and see if it's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I know I mentioned it on last week's pod. We were supposed to have Matt Perino on tonight for our guest, but he had a reschedule, so he's going to be on next week with us. So we still have him, which is awesome. He just had a reschedule. He's a busy guy. I get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But tonight we have Steve from the Air Raid podcast, and Steve's knows his stuff, man, and we're really excited to have him on. So,
and as soon as we get him on, we're going to figure out how to pronounce his last name. We're thinking it's Mathis.
Something along those lines. But
something like that.
Yeah. But it looks like it's time. Let's get him on the line, guys.
Sounds good.
And actually, before we do that, we're going to take a short break to get that queued up and play a little commercial break for everybody.
All right.
We will be right back. We are very excited to tell you about our new partnership with a great company right here in Springville, New York, Dilly Dally's Spices and Sauces. Owner-operator Dylan Wheeler started Dilly Dally's to find the most epic spice blends this world has to offer. And from that quest, he has collected a massive variety of gourmet and specialty products. We're talking 274 hot sauces, 147 barbecue sauces, and 125 barbecue rubs. They have spices, seasonings, drink mixes, even locally made cheeses from Cuba Cheese Shop and Yancey's Fancy. It doesn't matter whether you're a spice fiend looking for a new flavor for your hot wings or you just want to try a new Bloody Mary mix, you'll find it at Dilly Dally's. Trust us, you won't find a better variety anywhere else in Western New York. You can find Dilly Dally's at 53 East Main Street in Springville. Just look for the logo of the cool hot pepper with sunglasses on it. Tell Dylan that Ending the Drought podcast sent you and he will give you 10% off your order. He also has online ordering that ships products all over the state. His website is dillyspices.com. That's D-I-L-L-Y spices.com.
All right. Welcome back, guys.
Buddy.
Jason.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sorry. I was just waiting for you to do your intro.
No, you're good, man. No. We're excited to have, like we said, our first guest on for this year to talk, you know, about the Bills draft coming up here rapidly in the next 2 weeks. We got Steve Mathis, and he is from the Air Raid podcast. Sorry, Steve.
He said AirPods a few seconds
ago. I know.
He screwed you right up.
Yeah, it was my fault. I screwed you up there, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, welcome, man. We appreciate you coming on to the podcast.
Hey, man, it is the season. I'm always down to talk draft.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. We appreciate it.
So, Steve, I'll start off. I had some questions that I was kind of digging up for you because I follow you on Twitter. I really kind of like what you do and how much you dig into the draft. You know, I consider myself a pretty decent, you know, draft guy, but some of the stuff I see you do, I feel like you're, you know, next level. So I really appreciate, you know, what you do and, you know, the stuff that you dig into. So the one thing I did notice that I wanted to ask you your opinion on, and I'm a big believer that Brandon Bean is going to take a cornerback in this draft. And I feel like he's going to move up from 25 to get one. I think that's very important in our team right now. Is it's a huge glaring need in our roster for cornerback. So I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on what you think the Bills are going to do at, you know, number one this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the Buffalo Bills roster, like number one with the bullet clearing hole is cornerback. And obviously, you have the big two corners in the draft in Derek Stingley and Sauce Gardner. It's really unlikely, unless the Buffalo Bills are willing to trade a blue chip player like Tremaine Edmonds, and even I think that might not be enough to get up there, to really be in a position to draft one of those two guys. But there are two corners right after that in the draft in Trent McDuffie out of Washington and Andrew Booth Jr. out of Clemson. I think these guys are two both bona fide first-round cornerbacks, plug-and-play. Both guys, I think, would fit excellent in the Buffalo Bills system. And it's really going to depend on what happens in front of the Bills at 25. Peter Schrager came out yesterday on Good Morning Football. He's a pretty connected guy. He said, listen, there could be five wide receivers off the board before the 20s. And if there are five wide receivers off the board before the 20s, I think the Buffalo Bills could, this could end up being an Ed Oliver situation where they hold pat at 25 and still get a bona fide player like McDuffie or Booth.
Right.
But if you start to get to pick 15 and Stingley's off the board and Gardner's off the board and like McDuffie goes off the board, then you're going to have to start having a conversation about trying to move up into the late teens to probably try to grab that bona fide cornerback. Mm-hmm. Unless you're content sticking at 25 and taking a Kyler Gordon or a Kyer Elam or even a Tariq Woolen or a Roger McCreary.
Yeah, you seem like you're a big Roger McCreary guy. I saw you know, a thing on your Twitter, stop sleeping on Roger McCreary. So what do you like about him?
You know, what I like about Roger McCreary is the fact that if his arms were 3 inches longer, he would be in the conversation with Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley with, as the best cornerbacks in this draft.
Right.
He's an SEC corner at Auburn who his entire career, he's done nothing but shut down the top wide receivers in this draft class. Jahan Dotson neutralized him. Jameson Williams, John Metchie. Did those two guys, you know, get a good rep on Roger McCreary here or there? Yeah, of course they did. But Roger McCreary bona fide shut down the Treylon Burkses, the Jameson Williams, the John Metchies, the Jahan Dotsons of the world in his time at Auburn. But you look at him, he's got those 29-inch arms, which is something where when the Buffalo Bills, it appears like they really care about archetypes and body profiles. That might be a huge dent. He doesn't play a lot of zone coverage or never was asked to play a lot of zone coverage at Auburn. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting there at 25, the technician that he is, the fluid hips that he has, I think the football IQ that he has, listening to him in interviews, and on top of that, him saying that his number one film study and he models his game after Trey White. Yeah. I think that all those things combined go to show you that he could ultimately, despite the fact that maybe what he did in college doesn't line up with what the Bills do, could line up in the pros if the Bills ask him to do it.
Right, right. And I was just actually going to say the same thing you just mentioned. You know, he's a SEC guy, you know, played in the, you know, the same conference as Trey White. And I watch a lot of college football, you know, and he reminded me a lot of Trey White in college. And, you know, and that's the thing that I was, you know, going to bring up is, you know, I feel like the Bills could look at, you know, Roger McCreary as the same type of guy to bring in, you know, with the same skill set as a Trey White. You know, the reason I mentioned that, you know, the Bills might want to move up or try to get their guy is, you know, I feel indifferent about going into the season with Cam Lewis and Dane Jackson. I don't feel comfortable with that. So if we could move up to get a corner to start right away, I would feel more comfortable with that. But, you know, the other thing, too, are we going to look at some point of getting a veteran corner on this roster? I think that's another big need as well, don't you?
Yeah, and I think the way Brandon Bean is playing it right now is the veteran cornerback that we add will likely be completely dependent on how the draft goes. Because right now, if you look at the free agent corners that are still out there, you know, he's visiting with a team today. I believe he might be visiting with, I'm blanking on the team that he's visiting with, so my apologies, but Steven Nelson is, I think, the top cornerback available. Yeah. He's meeting with a team today. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to sign. You've got guys like AJ Bouye, Xavier Rhodes, Jason Verrett, Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller, Joe Hayden, Trey Waynes. You've got some names sticking out in free agency.
How about Stephon Gilmore?
Stephon Gilmore, too. His name is so big, I didn't even have him on my list here.
Yeah, right.
I don't know necessarily. I think that one's realistic, but yes, he is a big domino on the board. If you're the Buffalo Bills and you first round is up, you're like, best player available, I can't take a corner, I got to take this wide receiver. Second round, best player available is an interruptive lineman, I just can't justify taking the corner here. You got to take the interior. You all of a sudden get to the third, fourth round, and that's when you're taking a cornerback. Well, maybe you don't feel comfortable calling Joe Hayden. Maybe you feel like you need to step up your game and call a Stephon Gilmore or a Steven Nelson. So if you're the Buffalo Bills, where you end up drafting a corner might dictate the caliber of the cornerback you sign in free agency after the draft.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that because I've heard Brandon Bean many times thinking that the NFL should change the dates and do 100%. The draft first and free agency second, then you know what you need, right? And I mean, he has brought that up numerous times. So it does make sense, a lot of sense.
I think it makes sense on a lot of levels. I think the NFLPA does not want that.
Right.
Because I think what the NFLPA wants is all of these guys looking for a ton of money when teams have all of these needs. So
yeah,
if they're allowed to cost control, add players, and then not have as many needs going into free agency, I think that's going to hurt sort of the players' bargaining chip in terms of what kind of contracts they get. But in reality, I think from a GM standpoint, I think from fan standpoint, I think that the draft before free agency would make a lot of people happy. The only people I think it wouldn't make happy was the NFL players.
Sure. Yeah, and honestly, I didn't even think that they would ever do that. That's not It's not the NFL way. You know what I mean? Like they believe everything they do is exactly how it should be. So, but yeah, what about outside of these positions we absolutely know are way up there on the list? We've talked about the situation where, like, what's happening with Zach Moss. Then we got Duke Johnson, who's definitely, obviously, at least they're talk about having him as a guy just catching balls out of the backfield more than running the ball. But I mean, is there a position somewhere in the draft they would consider a running back, you think?
Oh, I mean, 100%. I'm looking right now at my list of players the Buffalo Bills have been connected with. You've seen top 30 visits from second, third round caliber running backs in Isaiah Spiller and James Cook. You have them. They met with Rashad White at the combine. So they touched on some. Like, there are a ton of names in that second, third round. Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall come to mind off the top of my head. And some other running backs, Brian Robinson, Zamir White, Pierre Strong. Haven't really seen the Buffalo Bills connected to those guys.
Right.
So it looks like maybe, and again, we don't know the full scope. Maybe they have talked to all these guys and we just don't know. Maybe they're trying to keep it a secret. Who knows? Hmm. But based on who they've talked to, the three I've got earmarked in the early rounds, Rashad White, James Cook, and Isaiah Spiller, it looks like the Buffalo Bills are doing their homework. And if they feel like one of the guys they like is the best player on the board in the first three rounds, I think they'll pull the trigger. As much as I want the Buffalo Bills, I'm team Breece Hall at pick number 25. I think he is a first-round caliber player, and I think he would take a lot of pressure off of our starting quarterback. I don't necessarily think, despite what despite all the sort of intrigue that was around Travis Etienne last year, I don't think Brandon Bean would pull the trigger on that. And I don't think it's something that they're actively like searching for. I think it's more of a situation where if the player falls into their laps, they'll pull the trigger because Zach Moss struggled last year, hasn't really developed. Devin Singletary is an unrestricted free agent after next year. You probably don't want to pay him a second contract. And obviously Duke Johnson's on that 1 year deal as well. And
right.
Hey, the Buffalo Bills might have tipped their hand with J.D. McKissick that they're at least looking to add a compliment to right. a guy like Devin.
So if you think about the first couple rounds of the draft, if you had to weigh opportunity versus need, what do you think they're going to go for more? You think they're looking for a good opportunity or you think they're fighting for what they want?
Knowing Brandon Bean, I think that they have their guys earmarked and they're going to try to go get them. The only problem is we have no idea who those guys are, right?
Yep, so right.
He seems very much like a guy who does not like to let the board fall to him. I mean, he's made the comment before and we've sort of seen it on Bills Embedded where he's like, I've got four or five guys I like. I can let the board fall to me. But I also feel like he's also seems like that kind of guy who he's got his prospects that he really falls hard for. And he won't be afraid to go up and get them. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bills trade up in any of the first three rounds of the draft. Just looking at the pre-draft visits, they met with two second, third round running backs. They met with all the top receivers at the combine, brought John Mechie in for a top 30. They've met with and mingled with some of the top tight ends in this draft. Nicholas Petit-Frere, Sean Ryan, Dylan Parnum, some second round, third round interior offensive linemen. They've talked to some linebackers who got day two grades. Perrion Winfrey, Nick Benito, who got day two grades. Andrew Booth Jr., the cornerback. Lewis Seen, the safety, who have day two grades. Nick Cross, who's probably a day two guy. I mean, the Buffalo Bills are all over the board on their pre-draft, you know, workouts and top 30 visits. So it's definitely tough to pinpoint sure. what the Buffalo Bills are looking for. And that's just going to make it really interesting.
Yeah, it's a wide open field to an extent. Really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills could go out completely out of left field with pick 25. It wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't shock me if they took a linebacker, if they took a safety, if they took a wide receiver. You know, I don't think anything is out of the realm of possibility. I would surprise me if they took a guard at 25.
Yeah.
One of the players that hasn't visited the Bills, right? They have met with Isaiah Spiller, top 30 visit, and Jalen Weidermeyer, top 30 visit. Huh. That is the running back from Texas A&M. That is the tight end from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Who is the one guy who makes that offense go at Texas A&M that I'm sure that they have seen time and time again if they like Isaiah Spiller and they like Jalen Weidermeyer? It's probably Kenyon Green.
Yep.
And right. the fact that they're not visiting with him could be maybe a situation where they're trying to hide that interest. And it wouldn't shock me if they pulled the trigger on a guy like him at pick number 25.
He fits their profile, right? Can play anywhere on the offensive line. Yeah, big dude, strong.
Yeah,
he kind of fits that profile.
I saw a comp for him the other day, and I can't get it out of my head. Somebody said he's the next Damian Woody. And if you can find the next Damian Woody, because, you know, he does play everywhere. He played left tackle. He played center. He played both guard spots. You know, he played all five positions on the offensive line at Texas A&M. I do think his best fit in the National Football League would be to settle in at guard, likely to settle in. My guess is he would settle in at right guard early, and then they would make Ryan Bates a backup, and then Ryan Bates would then eventually replace Roger Saffold in 2023 because they got Ryan Bates locked up long term. So that would be my guess is how they would sort of sort the offensive line if it went that way. I think kicking Ryan Bates to the bench after signing that new contract would probably upset a lot of Bills fans.
Yeah, it'd be a bad look.
Yeah.
If he's the BPA, he's the BPA. And even at $4 million for a three-position backup, Ryan Bates is pretty good.
Yeah. What about Trevor Penning? You know, any thought on would the Bills even consider giving him a look, or is that kind of out of play, you think?
I wouldn't say it's out of play. I would say I don't think it might be the most realistic thing. Obviously, I think Trevor Penning is going to want to play tackle in his career.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams are going to look at him to play tackle. I heard the New England Patriots have been sniffing around offensive linemen. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the trigger and took him off.
I would be so mad at that.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
I can picture Trevor Penning being one of those guys that Brandon Bean really hopes comes off the board before the Bills pick to drop someone else to the Bills, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
no, that makes great sense.
He's a really good player, but I think just the way this roster is currently constructed, I struggle to really justify kicking him into guard, even though it would totally make sense.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a mean dude, man. I mean, I'm sure you've seen what he did at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Our guy, Russ Brown, was at the Senior Bowl. He was up close and personal, and he said, like, that guy, Trevor Penning, was just – he was looking for a fight. He was looking for a scrap every time. Yeah. Every rep he took, and he was getting under the skin of some defensive linemen in Mobile.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I mean, I got to ask you one though. There's a certain individual. He's a linebacker currently that has just fascinated me this entire process, and that's Troy Anderson. Mm-hmm. That jackknife dude, like quarterback, running back, linebacker. He's fast. He's big. I mean, what are your thoughts? Like, if they have a shot at him, you think there's a possibility, especially like you're saying with Tremaine Edmonds kind of, I think they're on the fence a little bit. Do you agree?
Yeah. A guy like Troy Anderson is interesting, especially in the second round. I think that's where he's going to end up coming off the board.
Agree.
I think he's honestly played his way to a point where we might not even when this pre-draft process started, I was all like, you know, Troy Anderson, you know, in the fourth round, I would really be a big fan of that. And now it's like, cross your fingers, hope he gets to pick number 57.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, fifth-year senior, so that might ding him a little bit. His age, I don't know his exact age, but he would be up there since he's a fifth-year senior. But 6'4", 253 pounds, he's a ball of clay. At Montana State, they used him like Taysom Hill is used. He played offense. For the longest time, but this is a guy who's proven both at the Senior Bowl and his pro day in the offseason, in the seasons he has played defense. He's got snap-to-snap work ethic. He does not take a play off. He's got straight-line speed. He's got that length you look for at 6'4", 243. Just elite versatility and elite intangibles. He is that ball of clay, but you're going to have to work with him because he hasn't played defense for a very long time. So you got to work on him in sort of setting up in the run game and being stout in the run game. You got to work with him sort of in that post-snap recognition and things of that nature. But in terms of dropping back into coverage, pattern matching, some of the things that Tremaine Edmonds does for the Buffalo Bills that not a lot of linebackers are capable of, Troy Anderson's shown in his time at Montana State that he can do and he can mirror some of those things that Tremaine Edmonds can do. So if they're looking ahead to their bets with Tremaine Edmonds, a guy like Troy Anderson would fit the bill.
Yeah, he kind of like exactly what you said, somebody that has all the talent and athleticism that needs to be molded sounds like half the guys on this team.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's sort of the pattern the Buffalo Bills go for, whether it's Gregory Rousseau, Tremaine Edmonds, Spencer Brown, Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills, they don't always do this because, I mean, you know, Dawson Knox, but – they don't always do this, looking at guys like Devin Singletary, for example, but in the early round, they tend to maybe look for the athletic profile for a player to develop to be elite. They're looking for a guy who can become an elite player if he puts it all together.
Right. And they'll risk the floor to get the ceiling, right? I mean, yes, to a certain 100%. Extent.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Steve. So give us your prediction, though. You know, who do you think the Bills are going to take in the first round? Who are you guessing?
No pressure.
I'm going to stick, and we did a show last night. I'm going to first of all say that I have a feeling. I'm going to give you two predictions because number one is I really do have a feeling that because he was unable to work out in the pre-draft process, Andrew Booth Jr. is going to fall to pick number 25. And if that happens, I feel like the Buffalo Bills will 100% pull the trigger I think that Andrew Booth Jr. fits what the Buffalo Bills are looking for to a T. He can come in and start right away, but also has that really, really high ceiling. He sort of would be like this year's version of Ed Oliver falling into our laps when he fell into our laps at 9.
Like it, Steve. I like it.
If Andrew Booth is not on the board, I call this guy my safety pick. I joked on the show last night. It's sort of like, you know, that girl in high school would be like, hey, if I can't find a date, you can't find a date. You want to go to the dance together?
Right.
This is my safety pick at 25, and that's Kyler Gordon out of the University of Washington.
Yeah.
Fourth-year sophomore, 6 foot, 194 pounds. He's got athletic measurables that are almost to a T, comparable to former Washington Husky Marcus Peters, who's had a pretty good career, went healthy in the National Football League. He's nickel boundary versatile. He's got closing speed, coverage awareness, reactive athleticism. He's just, he doesn't have that like straight line speed that a fans covet. He didn't blaze his 40 time, but this is a guy who was on Bruce Feldman's freak list. He did dance. He did martial arts all in his throughout his childhood.
Yeah.
This guy is insanely flexible. And if you're an athlete, you see all these athletes doing these things nowadays, like yoga, to prolong their careers and to become better athletes. This is a guy who's been doing stuff like that, these different like whole body exercises, since he was a teenager. I mean, this guy is an absolute freak of an athlete. He's really good playing defense in the red zone. I just think he fits the bill of what the Buffalo Bills like to do to a T. So he's sort of my safety option. I'm going to say Kyler Gordon if Andrew Booth Jr. is off the board.
Yo, that's the two awesome picks. I mean, I can't say anything bad about those ones. I was a huge fan going into this draft before a lot of stuff, you know, started getting closer. But I'm a Michigan fan. You know, I'm a Big Ten guy. I love Michigan. I grew up since I've been 9 years old. I love Michigan. So I hated to say this, but I really liked Chris Olave at the beginning of this whole thing. You know, I watched him, you know, play, you know, against Michigan for the last few years, and the speed that he brought. You know, what did he end up running, like a 4.428 or something like that?
I believe it was a 4.42 official.
Okay. But, I was looking at him pretty hard, and I'm like, man, he'd be a one that would be hard to pass up on. But, you know, like you said in the, beginning of this interview, you know, I think there's going to be a pretty, quick run on wide receivers in this draft. So, you know, I think more cornerback talent obviously will start falling to us. But, yeah, for some reason, I just, I never like Ohio State players, but I like, you know, Chris Olave. So that was one guy that I was kind of pushing for a little bit. So
I'll tell you what, like, I got a feeling that Chris Olave comes off the board number 10 to the New York Jets.
Yeah.
I think that's dependent on Jameson Williams. Because whenever I looked at the first round, I had always slotted my first receiver off the board, Jameson Williams, to the Jets at number 10.
Yeah.
That was always, every time, I was like, they'll go get their corner and Sauce, and they'll go get the receiver. And that sort of spawned from their interest in Tyreek Hill. Well, right. The Jets were in on Tyreek Hill. They want that speed. They didn't get that speed. They're going to go get that speed in the draft with Jameson Williams. But now, with all these rumors and rumblings, and it could be smoke, that receivers are coming off the board quicker, I sort of got a feeling that Jameson comes off the board to the Falcons. He's not available to the Jets when they pick at 10, and I think they go for a guy with a little bit of speed to his game, a little downfield to his game. So I think they pass on Garrett Wilson. I think they pass on Drake London, and I think they go for Chris Olave at pick number 10.
Yeah.
At Jets. So I think both those. I think he could be a top 10 pick.
I can see that for sure.
That's the kind of rise. I think he's got the pedigree. He's got the school. Brian Hartline is, I mean, just one of the best receiving coaches in football, regardless of collegiate or pro.
Yeah.
The guy just knows what he's doing down there. And I think that Chris Olave is going to be one of the biggest risers of this pre-draft process.
You think he'll go before Garrett Wilson?
Oh, see, that's tough because you never know what it's like. The Falcons could take Garrett Wilson and then Jameson Williams could go to the Jets. And it just throws a wrench into the whole thing. But
right.
It's tough. I think that Garrett Wilson is the best all-around receiver in this draft. he kind of reminds me of Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. a little bit. But I think the lack of top-end speed is what's going to get Garrett Wilson in the end. And on top of that, he does have a much smaller frame. Chris Olave has a smaller frame too, but I think the frame is going to – the fact that he doesn't have that one particular trait that stands out, Garrett Wilson, is what's going to dig him, but I still think he'll be Garrett Wilson that is a top 15 pick as well.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Nice.
No, I really appreciate the insight today, man. You know, you sound like you've been doing your draft homework, huh?
maybe a little bit too much. My wife, how much I've been looking into this.
No doubt. Hey, it is what it is, right? I mean.
Oh yeah.
But no, I mean,
that was actually in my vows. It is what it is when it comes
to that. Yeah, there you go, great. Man. Yeah, we really appreciate it, Steve. That it was awesome talking with you again.
Truly.
Hopefully we can do this again and you know, talk to you about maybe, you know, some post draft stuff, beginning of the season, get your insight. You know, it's getting there, so we're getting close, man.
Anytime, gents, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and why don't you tell everybody out there where they can find you on social?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Judge Mathis, Mathis M-A-T-H-E-S. That's my personal handle, but I mostly do most of my tweeting from our show account, The Bills Guys, at The Bills Guys. It's our show is the Air Raid Hour every Monday and Thursday at 9 p.m. on the Cover One YouTube channel. So anyone listening ever wants to hop on, we take viewer comments, we take viewer feedback throughout the entire show, and we talk football just like we did here.
Nice. Thank you, Steve. We really appreciate it. And again, hopefully we can do something with you again soon, man.
100%, man. Hey, you guys have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Right.
Thanks, Steve. All right.
Very nice.
That was good dude. Steve Smart. Mathis. And yeah, again, just another really good guest that knows his stuff, man.
Yep.
You know, that's what we try to do for End of the Drill podcast. We try to get guys on, especially for draft, to really dig in, because you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't watch a lot of college football or don't really dig deep into it. I know you, right. Jeff, you're yep. one of those guys that you just never got deep into
it's
it.
It's the draft that brings me into college football.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
It draws me in every year, and I learn more in a 1 month time frame than I do all year long.
Exactly.
I don't follow it close like you do.
Yeah, but no, it's just awesome to have a guy with the knowledge of these players and what they bring, and it, you know, it's good insight to have. So again, Steve, really appreciate you coming on,
dude, a lot,
and we
really do.
Yeah, you know, we're excited for the draft coming up. So any other thoughts? Any other comments? Anything going on, fellas?
What I can't wait, man. It's getting close. It's getting close. Well, as you pointed out earlier, next week we also have a kind of a special guest in Matt Perino.
Yes.
Another guy who knows a lot about football.
Yep.
He dedicates a good portion of his life to football. So
he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Really looking forward to that, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I guess we can... finish it up there, guys. Again, good podcast, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You did good.
Tell them how they can listen to Ending the Drought, Jay.
Yeah, you can find us on social media, and that's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at ETD Buffalo, or you can go on to anchor.fm or anywhere that you get your podcast to find us there.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And as always, just wanted to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills! Go Bills.